I don't know, the 90s.
Don't you know what crack does to people? How did you not get addicted to crack?
I was for a while.
You were not addicted to crack.
Yeah.
See Jeff in Snowfall next season. It's just Jeff. Jeff, you should write a story about your crack addiction and how you overcame it. You could be a hero. I've never smoked crack. I think I did. It's accidental. But it was a long time ago. 1990.
It gets really high.
Oh,
smoked
yeah.
Meth on accident one time.
An accident? How do you?
Yeah, it was an accident. Well, I thought it was weed, but it wasn't. It was meth.
Yeah, they look the same. I can tell you.
It was in a pipe, and I thought it was weed. It was not. It was meth. And then I scrubbed my couch for about 7 hours.
There used to be a little park down by Jeff's dorm. It was, so this is going back to shit. This is 1989, I think. And Jeff was living in the dorm, so we went down in this little park right by him, a little playground area. Hi, Dustin. We'll talk about your addiction shortly. And porno, I think that's your addiction. And we went down in the park and we were going to smoke and some dude was there with his girlfriend. And, you know, you do that awkward thing where you're like, oh, and the guy goes, you guys want to smoke? So he fishes this joint out. We all share it. I think it was laced with PCP.
Mm.
Because the rest of the night, it was a blur. I remember having a rubber boot on my head and running around Jeff's dorm room. You remember that?
Yeah.
Yeah, the rubber boot on my head. And then Jeff had a hammock and I just got in the hammock and he and his roommate pushed me back and forth for what felt like 10 hours.
You didn't try to fly off the building or anything?
No, I didn't do the Michael J. Fox, after school special. I can fly.
That shit was crazy, though.
I was at a party one time where somebody I was going to smoke a joint and then the guy I was dating was like, nah, girl, don't smoke that. It's a 51. So what's a 51? That was a joint. It was a joint with crack in it.
Okay.
Okay.
It's called a 51.
I thought it was a seed.
I got to get me some 51s.
Anyway, it is Monday. We're recording and it's March 1st. Happy March 1st. Already 3 months into, what are you doing? Is that your Jedi impression? If you can't see us, we are on YouTube, youtube.com/Radio Labyrinth Podcast, which is completely run and administered by Mr. Dustin Lawler. But we still never got your addiction. Have you ever done any wacky thing that you weren't
expecting? Let's see. I worked at a place one time. This was over 20 years ago. And the guy was like, back then, I wasn't doing speed regularly, but it was, it was part of you're going to work all night long, and I thought I was doing a little line of speed and it was a line of coke, and I'd never done coke before in my life. Mm-hmm. And yeah, it was, I ended up throwing up all over myself and I was wearing a full white outfit, of course, and had just drank a cherry slushy for about 30 minutes before that. So yeah, I came out of the bathroom looking like I just killed somebody.
But that was a tasty drain though.
Yeah. It was interesting to say the least, but I mean, I could see how people could become addicted to it, but yeah, luckily I've never had anything that's, grabbed a hold of me for any period of time.
I don't know how you get addicted to it if you puke.
Yeah, it was exactly. Yeah, it was like, it was an experience I'm glad was not as good as it could have been.
Yeah. Well, on that happy note, this is season 6, episode 15. Now we've got all of our drug stuff out of the way. Yesterday, Steph and Dustin and I recorded some stuff for the Syracuse Sam Finger Lakes Slasher podcast that we've been talking about for quite some time and getting close to working on the first episode. So I have a couple thoughts on that. Jeff's been writing a lot of stuff. Steph's been writing. Everybody's working on it. I'm just doing the voice, so I don't want to. I want to help. I want to know what you guys, Dustin, what do you think about it? Did you have any time to play around with it?
Yeah, I played around with it. I was working on it last night. I like it. I like how it's coming together. Once I strung everything together nice and tight, it started coming together, but I think some of your notes were correct. I think it does seem a little too real.
Yeah.
So too personal.
Explain to Jeff why you came away with that conclusion.
Well, it was kind of like all the stuff that I was hearing come out of Sam's mouth were bits and pieces of stories I've heard over the years mm-hmm. on here. So it definitely seemed self-reflective. Mm-hmm. And it was kind of creepy. I mean, concur. You know,
I'm trying to make up some murders and put some details in the document. So maybe that'll help a little.
Steph.
I concur with Dustin that it seemed all too real.
Yeah.
And more creepy than absurdly funny. It started to seem like we were actually interviewing a real serial killer. Well, and I'm like, what are we going for here? Is this a joke?
I ate a box.
Do you want to tell us something, Tim?
No, I ate a box of Frosted Mini Wheats recently, so I can kill a box of cereal. No, I thought, I don't know what I was thinking. I was thinking, you know, I was like, okay, that would be okay for an introductory episode, and then we just go completely into left field after that. But, you know, everybody's done so much work on it, but Steph sent me a funny idea this morning. Why don't you tell everybody what that was?
Well, I mean, should we share it here? I don't know.
Maybe we'll talk about it at the end of the show. Yeah, you're right.
Yeah.
Spoiler. I mean, it was a good idea.
They think it's stupid. They might think it's dumb.
Who might think it's dumb?
Well, Jeff and Dustin, I'll tell you ridiculous things because I don't know.
Yeah, but I gave you a heart.
I know you did. Yeah, but you'll do that for stuff even if you think it's dumb.
Just no, if I think it's dumb, I'll give you a thumbs up.
I got to write this down. I need a key or a legend now for your text.
No, either the idea that you had, I think, is really, really funny. And it's something I hadn't even thought about. And we will talk about it at the end of the show when we're done. But you're right. I want to be absurd as hell with this. And, you know, I guess maybe I should just pick up on some of the notes that Jeff's been leaving and you guys been leaving on the dock. But again, that was just a preliminary introduction to the guy. So maybe it'll work. Maybe it won't. But we'll talk about it. But I did think it was funny. It was like, are we interviewing Tim or are we interviewing Syracuse Sam? So I thought that was kind of funny.
It'd be something great for your child to listen to someday, I'm sure.
Oh, yeah. I can't wait. I'm saving all these wonderful things. All my old radio bits where I'm really talking poorly about women and doing really horrible voices. I think that, yeah, that'll be something I'll put in the vault. Drag out. Let's see. We're going to do Danger Zone again this week. And I want to do it Thursday. So if you guys want to help me out on that, that would be
cool. I will. I'll send you something tomorrow. I'll send you some songs tomorrow.
So if you're hearing this, go ahead.
Dan Carroll wanted to play the last time. Maybe we can get him this time.
Yeah. So let's try to get Dan Carroll. If we can get a note on social media to see if people wanted to join in and play. We'll play it Thursday night. You can win, you know, both players will get stickers and stuff, and the winner gets to choose a t-shirt. Congratulations to Chad Shepard, our last winner of Danger Zone, who did a very good job. Oh, God. Oh, yeah. Don't forget, next Wednesday, which is March 10th, we need everybody who listens to the show who has time to do it to check out Forged in Fire. Now, you should be watching it anyway. It's a great show. It's fun. It's an interesting show. You get to watch people make stuff with their hands. We've been talking about it a lot, but one of our radios is going to be on the show, and one of the judges from the show, not going to say which yet, is going to join us for that episode to either congratulate or chastise. We don't know because we don't know the outcome yet, and I can't wait. So, that should be a lot of fun. And I guess that's all the new business I have. Did you guys watch the Golden Globes last night?
I did.
Yeah.
No.
Anyway,
It was meh. Yeah.
Now, how did they do it? There's a comedian I follow on Twitter named Erica Rhodes. And I don't know if you know who she is. She used to be. Yeah, she's funny. She used to be on on a Prairie Home Companion in the last couple seasons, I guess, before he was canceled. That, you know, the 90-year-old man, they canceled me. I don't know why they did. I think it was something to do with he might have looked at a lady or something, so he had to go. And Garrison Keillor is his name. But she was tweeting funny things about everybody has nice bookshelves. So I guess people were just at home. They did this totally from home.
Yeah, Tina and Amy were in different studios. One was in L.A., one was in New York.
Mm-hmm.
And they were doing it in front of like a ballroom of healthcare professionals and first responders and shit. Mm-hmm. And all the celebrities were at home via Zoom.
So they did have an audience.
Yeah.
And here's my question. Why didn't they just have the Golden Globes? You know, they had the Super Bowl and you haven't heard anything negative come out of that. Everybody in Hollywood who's certainly people who are working actively on film or television are all getting tested daily. We've heard about that from people who are in the industry. They get tested every single day. So I don't understand why they didn't do it. Unless, of course, it's, you know, because they have to keep the narrative and all that stuff that Hollywood's putting out. But it's weird that they would do that. And I just don't understand why they couldn't do it.
Yeah, I think they're waiting until more people get vaccinated.
Don't you think they're all aren't celebrities vaccinated? Shouldn't they be? I think they're better than us. They should get.
Depends on how tight they're regulating that shit. Seems like people are having a hard time getting the second doses and shit.
I think everybody should hold everything in Florida. If you do everything in Florida, and then that'll be the one place in the country where things look normal. But I don't know. Did anybody that we like win? I heard a lot of people complaining today. There was a big, you know, brouhaha over diversity and shit like that. So I ignored all that. But did anybody cool win that we like that we talk about a lot?
Yeah. I don't know if we talk about him a lot, but Ted Lasso won for show, mm-hmm. comedy show. And that's a great show. You guys,
that's Sudeikis, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's on Apple TV. They're working on season two right now, and it's already been greenlit for season three.
Cool. Everybody tells me they love that show.
It's fucking brilliant. You should watch it. It's a really fun and feel good show. Happy.
Looking for him since his wife left him for a Harry Styles.
Yeah.
Who is his wife? Oh, Olivia Wilde.
Yeah.
And she did him a favor.
I think so.
Yeah. Harry Styles. I mean, how old is that guy? To me,
27.
Okay. So he's grown up, but Justin Bieber or people like that, they're always going to be 10.
I mean, it's not like she's way too old for him. She's like 36, but
yeah,
still.
No, good for Harry Styles. And like I said, probably better for Jason Sudeikis.
He's already dating a model.
Oh, good for him.
When I tried it in the movie Manhattan, everybody jumped all over me.
Hey, Woody, I saw a video about you on HBO, a documentary. Now I know you're horrible and evil. You're an evil man and you deserve everything that's coming to you, Woody. That was pretty good, Woody, Jeff.
It was pretty good.
Nomadland won a lot of.
Yeah.
They won Best Picture or Best Motion Picture Drama.
Nomadland, good.
Yeah, and that's on Hulu. You guys should watch it. It was good. Not as uplifting and heartfelt as Ted Lasso, but very real and very well done.
Right, yeah. It's depressing in a slice of real life.
Well, I mean, it's not depressing so much. It's sad in the fact that it's so real.
Mm-hmm.
But she makes it a life. You know, the best she can. Mm-hmm. Living in a van
down by the river.
It's a bunch of real nomads too, right?
Yeah, they just go around to like do seasonal work for like Amazon or picking avocados and shit.
Really? What kind of seasonal work for Amazon? That's like working in the warehouse, right?
Yeah, like Christmas Amazon fulfillment centers and shit.
Modern day nomads.
Yeah.
Well, that's cool. I mean, normally I would watch the Golden Globes. I always like that one. Isn't that the one that Gervais hosts or is he hosting?
Yeah,
he used to. Yeah.
Yeah. I like Ricky Gervais. He can make a bad thing good. But they're increasingly just, just here's your award. Now let's talk about the evils of our country.
We're hammering hard the fact that there's not a lot of diversity in Hollywood foreign press. And I guess rightfully so.
What does that really mean, though?
It's all white people.
Well, it used to be a variety show. right? It used to be a variety show. All these things used to be variety shows. They were fun. They were, they had song and dance numbers. There were clips. There were comedy bits. The host was usually funny.
They did some comedy bits and stuff. Like Maya Rudolph and Kenan Thompson came out and did a fake acceptance speech for a project that was like a made up thing. Mm-hmm. It kind of bombed though with the live audience anyway.
Oh really?
Yeah.
How many people were in the anyway? I don't know.
Maybe 200 people, but they were separated out, like couples at a table.
Yeah. People are still bitching. I saw on Twitter today, people are still bitching about Dr. Seuss. And today is, I guess, what, National Reading Day or Read a Book to a Kid Day or I don't know, Shoplift. Yeah,
I thought it was National Peanut Butter Day.
Is it? Well, every day is National Peanut Butter Day. For me, I love peanut butter. But I always make the mistake when I'm trying to be healthy. I'm like, I'm going to buy this jar of expensive, all-natural peanut butter, and I'm going to stir it up, and it's going to be delicious, and it's not. And so I just, go to Target and buy Jif. Jif is, Jif's not going to let you down.
You can at least get the Jif Natural.
Yeah, they make all the regular brands are making a natural peanut butter now.
The Jif Natural is, straight from the gods of peanut butter. It's so good.
Skippy's good too. Skippy Natural's good too.
It is, yes.
Yeah, none of those natural peanut butters are bad if you put enough sugar and honey in
them. Right. I know that. But with the Jif, you don't need to. I guess right.
The Smucker's natural that you talk about, it's like half the jar is peanut oil.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's an invention that it looks like a kind of like a screw, and you put it into the natural peanut butter and you turn it around, and then it's got like a little credit card thing that goes down the screw and wipes all the peanut butter off, but it's supposed to stir up all your natural peanut butter.
I don't want to sit there with a damn, freaking butter churn to get a peanut butter sandwich. This is ridiculous.
That's what you get for your natural peanut butter.
So you don't want to be like the same thing every, the technology of the natural peanut butter hasn't changed at all since the 70s. You still have to use a spoon. And you stick it in there, and then you splatter the oil all over your hands and the counter, and then you get it all over your fingers, and it's all over the place. So, yeah, I'm just going to go with the Jif. Thank you for the tip. I'm going to try the Jif Natural.
Oh, you'll love it. It's wonderful. I don't think you can. I can't even eat regular peanut butter. After eating the Jif Natural or the Skippy Natural or whatever, the others just taste way too sweet. It doesn't even really taste like peanut butter. It just tastes like, yeah.
I don't like the almond butter or the cashew butter. Oh, I do like almond butter, but I don't like cashew butter. It's too rich.
I like crunchy almond butter. That's tasty. But it's like $10 for a damn jar of it.
You told me you loved all nut butter.
Well, I do love nut butters.
Chunky, especially when it hasn't, it's been in there a while.
Oh, yeah.
Why do we always devolve into grossness?
I don't know, but I blew up my diet this past weekend. I was a complete slob. And yesterday I had that mallow cup, the mallow topped Reese's cup, which Jeff also had it recently.
What? Tell me about this.
Yeah, tastes like a fluffernutter.
Yeah, marshmallow top. It's like a regular Reese's peanut butter cup, but the top is white and it's marshmallow.
I loved it. Jeff's like, mallow cups still better.
I like mallow cups better because of the mallow filling. But
so no, back up. You're bearing the lead. What is this product?
It's a Reese's peanut butter cup with a marshmallow top.
Okay.
The top is marshmallow, but hardened, mm-hmm. And then the bottom is chocolate, and the middle is peanut butter. So did you guys ever make fluffernutters when you were growing up?
Sure. Oh yeah.
Cream peanut butter sandwiches.
Yeah.
Like that.
Those are great. And then if I didn't have any fluff, I would take a marshmallow and work it between my fingers for like 2 hours, and then you just had a little bit and you can put it on your bread.
No. I don't ever want you working marshmallows.
Let me work your marshmallows. Whoop, 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 knead them in my fingers. Then your fingers are all sticky because the marshmallow is really sticky. And I go, Mom, give me some fluff.
No. Well, it was really good.
I love fluff.
It was really good.
I don't really like s'mores though. I don't like mixing the chocolate, or putting the marshmallow in the chocolate. But they're okay, I guess.
I like s'mores cereal. I like s'mores products, like s'mores ice cream.
S'mores Pop Tarts are the best Pop Tarts.
S'mores Pop Tarts, yeah. But too like much. To make a s'more, no.
Well, it's a challenge. The thing I really don't like though are And when I was a kid, I sort of did, but it was a, you know, you'd have a cookout or a fire and you'd roast marshmallows on a stick. And you get that real, you know, carcinogenic coating over it.
Yeah, that's what I like. Mm-hmm. With burnt.
Right into it, and it's like lava and it burns your jaw.
That's the best. I used to, I don't know how many forks my mom used to, you know, beat our asses because I was always cooking a marshmallow or a hot dog on the stove and ruining all of the forks.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's done in my house too.
Your kids do that?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Over the gas range. Yeah.
Oh, over the gas range. Oh, shit.
That's the only way to do it. Yeah. You got to light that baby on fire.
The last time I got in trouble for doing something with a stove when I lived with my mother, I was after I was in college because I was smoking. I was lighting cigarettes on a burner, electric burner, not the not like a gas burner where you can just lean in and light it. But I would put my face down it, and so it left all these little marks on the coil. She asked me what they were, and I said, "Oh, I've been lighting cigarettes." Meanwhile, she smoked in the house, but she, for some reason, she tried to get me to smoke outside, which I ignored because I said, "No, you smoke in the house. I'm going to smoke in this house." And, you know, somebody has to cover up the scent of dog urine. And if it's got to be both of us because, you know, the one end of the house and the other end of the house smoke, that'll cover up the dog urine.
I really don't feel like it did.
No, it didn't.
No, Jeff would know for sure. It never did. No, our house, when we lived close to Jeff before my mom moved eventually. But this house, the dogs peed upstairs on the rug and they also peed in the basement. I've told the story ad nauseum, but, you know, it was pretty gross.
That does sound bad.
But you get used to it when you live in it and you don't notice. And then your friends come over and like, why don't we sleep outside tonight? Yeah, but it's 10 degrees out. Yeah, why don't we sleep outside?
Let's chance it.
My roommate, her friend, she decided to be a masseuse, but she would have the clients come to her house. Mm-hmm. And she had like these large Rottweilers. You would just let crap in her living room and just leave the crap there.
Mm-hmm.
And she got all upset because she would have the client come to her house and they would be like, no, I'm not doing this.
No.
You can't get a happy ending with Rottweiler shit all over the place.
No. Well, you can. I mean, you can put a lot out of your mind when that's going on, can't you?
I think, well, my roommate would be like, she tried to be nice, but she'd be like, dude, maybe you could pick up the shit. I don't know. Maybe that might be the problem. She'd be like, I don't see why that would be a problem.
I did that today outside, but I have a thing that you buy at the hardware store with the rake and the,
Oh, that's the best. Yeah.
Yeah.
Me too.
Have you seen the services they have now?
Yes. Well, yeah, a long time ago, must have been 2010 maybe or 2009, we had a guy on the old regular guy show who came in who did that for a living. He would just go to your yard and pick up your shit.
Yeah, I see him a lot out. I'll be in a neighborhood and yeah, they come like a little Prius or something, you know, all wrapped with the, you know, dog pooping on the side of the car. It's hilarious. And they're just out there. I'm like, man, it's raining. There's poop that's been out there for 2 weeks. Mm-hmm. I'm sure it's just, yeah. I mean, it's got to be a horrible, horrible job.
Unless you run a kennel. And even then you'd have employees, I would think. Who's so lazy that they have to hire somebody to pick up their dog crap?
Yeah.
You know, if you've got money.
Everybody at the old apartment complex I used to live at.
Yeah.
Nobody fucking picked up their shit.
Well, that I would, you know, the apartment complex paying for that, even though they put shit all over the place that you can use. I mean, I'm very anal, but when I walk the dog and I only walk Rocky, you know, the big guy, because he likes to go for a walk. And so I take him and I always bring a bag with me and you pick it up. But there are so many people in our neighborhood who don't do that. And I can, you know, it's either a big dog or a little dog, you could tell. But, you know, you're walking down, you look down, there's a big pile of shit there. And then I feel like I should clean it up because I don't want people thinking it's me. But, you know, what are you going to do?
It would be all over the street if it was you.
Why would it be all over the street?
Saying if you were the one that was shitting, it would be all over the street.
Oh, yeah, I do that at night. I walk around at night. I sniff everything first to make sure that, you know. I took care of my neighbor's dog over the weekend, and that dog is really, really good. But there's this one spot I can take the dog to where the dog can crap and I don't have to pick it up. No one will ever see it. So sometimes I go there.
Yeah, I think everybody's got that, like that one natural area in their neighborhood that you everybody kind of lets their dog out a little bit further on the leash.
Yeah, the guy who doesn't cut his yard but only does a year.
That's never anybody. I never let my dogs crap in somebody's yard. Never.
I just take my dogs over to that apartment that you and I shared and let them go on that hill next to where we lived.
You mean the first place we lived?
Yeah.
Where
you could just dump the cat box out the window.
No, I didn't do that. Okay, this is the first place Jeff and I lived. Have we told this story? Because Dustin, you're kind of an archivist. If I've told this before, you stop me.
Okay, go ahead.
Jeff moves in. We're living in a one-bedroom apartment. He's sleeping on the couch every night. So we're eating, you know, pizzas and stuff. And instead of putting the trash out, I just put it on the porch, not thinking that it's the South and it gets warm and that there's rats. So one day I decide to clean it. And there's all these little tunnels through everything. I'm like, oh, Jesus, these are fucking rats. So I get gloves and mask and clean it all up and never did it again. But when I would clean the cat box, I would pour it into a grocery bag and then just throw it down in it over the bank. And I think when we moved out, there probably were 100 of them down there.
That's horrible.
I know. I feel really bad.
No, you don't. But that's sure really gross.
This is 24 years ago, 23 years ago, though. So hopefully it's all taken care of. And if it's not, I'll go pick it up. All right. Now I'm going to thank our sponsors. We have two sponsors. They've been with us for a long time. And they stuck with us throughout the first year of the COVID pandemic. We don't know how long it's going to last this year. So let's just say the first year. And we hope that it won't go on much longer than that. But anyhow, I want to thank Mike Hall and Atlanta Pizza and Euro. Serving Conyers in the East Metro Atlanta area since 1983. Mike Hall and his staff truly appreciate your business and thank you for your continued support during the year that never happened, or we wish never happened. When's the last time you guys were out there?
We all went out there when they opened. Yeah.
Well, I've been out since then a couple times. Mm-hmm. But didn't we recently have a listener show up there?
Yeah, Tim went out there.
Yeah, Tim Allen, he goes out there weekly. Oh, okay. I think he eats lunch a couple of times a week out there. Okay. He's a great radio.
If you go out there, and I notice that some people do this, if you go to Atlanta Pizza and Euro, post on our social media, either in the Radio Shack or on our Facebook page. Let us know that you were there, and we'll give you a shout out for in both of our sponsors.
Get their Greek salad. They make their own dressing, and it is out of this world.
And cannoli. Get the cannoli.
Get the cannoli, yeah.
But leave the gun at home. Atlanta Pizza and Euro is open for dine-in services, or if you prefer, you can give them a call and place your own takeout order. You can also order online for pickup or delivery through their website at atlantapizzaeuro.com. And I've made a decision when it comes to this kind of thing. If I'm going to order something and the restaurant doesn't deliver, I'm going to go pick it up because I'm sick of Uber and their Uber Eats or any of those things. They take their middleman cut, then you got to tip the driver, which I don't mind doing that at all. But a lot of times they screw your order up and then you're left with nothing. And plus, restaurants kind of get fucked by those apps. So if you can, do whatever you can to just go pick it up. That's what I'm going to do. Visit them on Facebook or leave them a positive review on Google as it helps their business continue to grow. And our other sponsor, I would be remiss to leave him out. And that would be Brett Perkins and his business, LDI Repro Printing of Athens, Georgia. They have all your construction printing needs, commercial or residential, in Athens since 2000. Let me scroll this up so I don't say it wrong. 2005. I didn't want to give them two extra years. With a fast turnaround and affordable prices, if you're in the market for something that he has to offer you, call 706-316-9366 or email at athens@ldiline.com.
And I know Brett personally. He's a hell of a guy. And he has great taste in movies and comedy. And yeah, you should totally do business with him if you're building some shit.
Hell yeah. Call, goddammit.
He should come on the show sometime. Tell us about
he should.
Backpacks and shit and tell us about his business.
Yeah. All right. We'll do that. Hey, if you're out there and you'd like to be a sponsor of Radio Labyrinth, just hit me up. We'll figure it out. All right. All right. You guys want to play some Rad Libs?
Sure.
Sure. All right. Rad Libs is like Mad Libs.
Are you asking us or are you just going to go?
I'm just going to go. I'm going to.
Okay.
You know, I'm going to do is save a little time here. It's like Mad Libs. Earlier in the day, I send everybody the clues. They send me back their words, the replacement words. And then I'm going to be reading, you know, like a Mad Lib, like when you were a kid, you know, the dog, the noun, all that shit. This is a line from a movie, as most of them are going to be. And, you know, the red box troll can't be here tonight. So I'm just going to read it in this voice. So 3, 2, 1. Now, this here fable I'm about to jog took place back in the early 70s, just about the time of our dildo fight with Kim Jong-un and the Turks. I only mention it because sometimes there's a potato head. I won't say a whoremaster, because what's a whoremaster? But sometimes there's a potato head, and I'm talking about the booger here. Sometimes there is a potato head. Well, he's the potato head for his time and place. He fits right in here. And that's the booger in Dallas. And even if he's a cotton-headed ninny muggins potato head, and the booger was most certainly that, quite possibly the cotton-headiest ninny muggins in Dallas County, which would place him high in the running for cotton-headiest ninny muggins worldwide. But sometimes there is a potato head. Sometimes there's a potato head. Wow. Lost my scooter of thought here. But oh, twat. I done fingered him enough. So that's one of the earlier. I think it's one of the first scenes in The Big Lebowski, of course.
I think that is the opening scene.
Cowboy talking about the dude. So that turned out well. I thought that was funny.
That was pretty good. Yeah. That's when he was in the store writing the check for 59 cents or whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, for the creamer. Yeah.
And then they were showing on the TV. Was that Hillary Duff, by the way, checking him out?
I don't know. I never heard that before.
Mm-mm. I'm going to Google that because I've heard that before. Big Lebowski. I don't know if she's in it or not.
She would have been in her late teens.
Oh, well, I'm not going to look through it because I can't. I'm tired. I'm tired. I've been doing, like I said, I've been doing a lot of yard work, you know.
Yeah. Cotton. It's that time. Time of year.
Cotton-headed ninny muggins. Where'd you find that one, Dustin? That was the insult.
It's from Elf. That's what he calls Will Ferrell. That was his insult.
Okay, cool.
It did fit where it fit very well.
I've done fingered him enough. Man, there's an anus here. All right, so we may as well talk about what we watched and stuff. I didn't watch an awful lot, so looks like Dustin watched even less. I watched WandaVision 8, which I thought was a really good episode. Finally got into season 7 of Forged in Fire. So I only have 35 more to go episodes. And I found on YouTube a channel that does old time radio shows. And some of them are oldies, like from the 40s, 30s, and 40s music. And then there are others that are, you know, like old time radio dramas or comedies or serials or horror and everything. But the cool thing about it is some of them that it's just ambient sound to help you sleep. So the video will be titled Oldies from a Room While It's Raining, you know, weird stuff like that. And I'll put a link in the show notes so you can check it out if you're interested. But it's really cool because you hear like, and then, you know, it's like in another room. So I think it's cool. And there's also, I found the old Star Wars. Do you remember, Jeff, or you guys remember that there was a radio serial, A New Hope? And it was syndicated.
Didn't they? Was it the ones that came out also on, they put them on LPs?
Maybe.
Like you could buy the book and it had like 10, like 7 inches.
No, there was a radio. There was an LP. I remember that because my friend had it and we'd listen to it. But it was dialogue from the film. So I don't know. Maybe I don't really know the answer. I don't think so, because there were different people doing the voices in the radio drama. But it's very well produced. And it's like an old school radio drama. And I would love to get my hands on Chicken Man, if anybody remembers that. He's everywhere. He's everywhere. Do you remember that?
Yeah.
Chicken Man. I think we've talked about that before. So then I got some caught up on some podcasts, Talking Sopranos. I listened to some episodes of Gilbert Gottfried that I hadn't listened to in a while. And I started a new book. It's not a new book. It came out in the late 90s, but it's called the Cryptonomicon. You ever heard of that book?
Sounds familiar.
Neal Stephenson's. He's written a lot of books, but Cryptonomicon was written in the late 90s and takes place at two different time frames, World War II, where they're doing cryptography to break the Japanese code. And then it's in modern times with the children and the grandchildren of the World War II people who are creating. Now, this is from the late 90s. They're creating a digital currency, and they're talking about the internet in a way that back then didn't exist, and it's more close to what we have now. So it's pretty cool, and it's kind of sci-fi-ish and all that, but it's a good book. It was recommended to me. So that's me. That's what I did. That's what I'm reading,
cool,
looking at and whatnot.
I didn't watch that much either. Just a few things. I watched WandaVision, and I'm interested to see how that plays out in this last episode. And it's this next episode supposed to be closer to over an hour, I think. So,
well, the it was 48 minutes, right?
Yeah.
So that wasn't the finale. I thought that was the finale.
Yeah, one more to go.
One more to go.
Yeah.
You think Magneto's going to show up?
No.
I have a theory that it's Nightmare.
Nightmare,
who is a big villain in that world, and I think that's who she's connected with, or at least is working with. But that's the rumor mill. And there's one guy that I've been watching these guys, Blind Wave, on YouTube, and they're four guys that discuss everything and really knowledgeable. And they've hit every, except for, I think they put out two or three different theories before they watch, each one, and they've gotten all of their theories have been correct except for one. So like one out of, 16 or something.
What are they called again?
Blind Wave.
Blind Wave.
Mm-hmm. I think that's their idea, is that not the character Nightmare, which
would Nightmare qualify,
would fall in line with,
would he be big enough to qualify to be a Luke Skywalker-esque cameo?
No.
Or were they talking about Quicksilver being that Luke Skywalker?
I don't think it was Quicksilver. Yeah.
Before we go on, spoiler alerts, if you're not caught up.
Yes.
Spoiler alerts.
And I'll put those out.
Spoiler alerts, because Quicksilver, it wasn't even Pietro. It was just a manifestation. So we don't know if that guy's going to be dragged in, right?
But he did play Quicksilver in Days of Future Past. He
did, yes. But in this continuity here, he was a figment created by the witch, whatever her name is. And yeah. And then the other rumor I heard is Vision, or the actor who plays Vision,
Paul Bettany,
right, said that he finally gets to work with someone he's always wanted to work with his entire career. And one rumor that I saw is that it'll be White Vision fighting Green Vision, and then Green Vision wins. Because White Vision is whoever that company is. I always forget their name. I want to say S.H.I.E.L.D., but it's not S.H.I.E.L.D.
Sword.
Yeah.
Yeah. That White Vision is the Vision that eventually became, that was the West Coast Avengers. Yeah. And that was White Vision, Scarlet Witch, Hawkeye, and then a couple of older X-Men.
No, not Hawkeye. Who was it? It was Beast, I think, was originally.
Beast, yeah, was one. So, which is funny because all this is happening in New Jersey. So I don't know if it's going to be the West Coast Avengers or not, I don't think that's where they're going though. I think it's probably going to be, I don't know. Everything seems to be, all these theories that get put out are so huge. And then when it comes, the reality comes in, it's kind of anticlimactic, but, I like the White Vision though. I thought that was a good call, to kind of push that character forward, because the original Vision just wasn't in the series after a certain point. It became the White Vision. So I don't know how they're going to, you know, play that out in the future, because White Vision is just kind of blank. You know, he's very straightforward, doesn't have an emotion. So I think they're going to be a combination of the two myself. I think she's going to, the way she manifests Vision for inside the Hex, I think she'll be able to put that consciousness into the White Vision and to go forward, but we'll see. The other thing that I watched, and was one other thing, was a movie on Showtime called The Captain, and it's a German movie, and it's set in World War II. It's black and white, amazing cinematography, but it's really neat, true story of a private who deserted and escaped from a deserter prison camp and stumbled upon a car that had a captain's Nazi uniform in it. So he dons the uniform, and then all of a sudden people just, you know, start wandering up and think he's a captain, and he runs with it.
Oh, cool. And
he runs with it to a very far extent. I mean, it's amazing how far he got and the stuff that he was able to do just because he pretended to be someone and they believed him. But it's worth checking out. It's on Showtime, or on Apple TV, as well. But it's called The Captain. You do have to read it, but it's worth reading.
Did you check out that Tribes of Europa yet on Netflix?
No, that's the one that I was trying to think of what you had said, and I couldn't remember what the name of it was when I was, and then I found
I want you to watch it so you can find out if it's the same people that made Dark.
Okay.
Because it's,
I'll get into some of the same actors.
I finished it. It was really good. I hope there's another season.
I'll definitely check it out. My staff pick is a book. It's Later is a new book by Stephen King.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it.
Tomorrow. Yeah, and it's kind of a Bachman, an unfinished Bachman book that he put back out, and so it's being listed not as a Bachman book, but being known that it's a Bachman book that he's finishing, which he started a long time ago.
Steph.
So as you guys could see in the notes, I finally watched WandaVision. I
saw that.
You came around to watching WandaVision.
Well, Neil was like, you know, I really want to watch. And I said, that's fine. We'll just, you know, whatever. I don't want to, but I will. And then we just watched all of them last night.
Liked it, right? Did you not like
it? You know, once it got going, I'd say by episode 3, I was pretty into it.
Once it turns color, you're okay with it.
Yeah, well, yeah, I think that helped. The Malcolm in the Middle one really got me.
Yeah.
And just watching everything behind the scenes and all that stuff, I don't know. I really did get into it, and I liked it. Yeah, I mean, I'm wondering what's going on still. I think they've done a good little mystery to it. And Catherine Hahn, her whole spoiler alert.
Right.
I wasn't looking for that. That caught me off guard. So anyway, I do like it. I watched all of that Behind Her Eyes show on Netflix. Ended up being like a twist at the end, but I don't know. I guess you could see it coming. It was like, whatever. And Alien versus Pharaoh part 2. Tim, are you still out? You're not going to watch it?
No, I don't need to.
I watched it though.
What'd you think, Jeff, on the second one?
It seems like the stuff that they've got, the damning stuff they're saving to throw at the end of the episode.
2 had some damning stuff in it though, seemed to me. It was pretty damning. Like
you should lead with that shit if that's the point you're trying to make.
Yeah, I'm wondering what more could they have that's beyond that? Because it was pretty, your whole business, Tim, about like she's just crazy. You need to watch it. It's not just her crazy. There's real shit here.
A case could be made though that the mom was feeding her that shit to say on video, and like, why was she videoing that shit?
Talking about specifically.
Oh, when Dylan's telling about the molesting.
When she tells her mom what happened.
He was coached to make all that stuff up.
But she didn't make up the fact that the other lady's babysitter saw some weird ass shit going on. And then she also didn't make up that her babysitter couldn't find Dylan for like 20 minutes when he was there. So she didn't make that up. those are two people that are both giving their accounts of what happened that day.
That was all part of the court trial, though, and no charges came of it. So,
I mean, all this stuff has been adjudicated. So that's why I just think this is a ratings thing. Certainly not LA Times worthy journalism, but.
Well, no, but, you know, it could also be said that Woody does have a lot of money and a lot of power and a lot of connections.
I know, but you can't buy off doctors all over Connecticut and New York State. And they didn't like him. They didn't give him custody of those kids either. You know, I mean, there was back and forth. He didn't get custody of them. But then you have one of the kids, Moses, saying that he got beat and told to lie. And he didn't want to lie because he was too old. And he realized that he didn't have to. So I don't know. But no, I'm not interested in it. And be like, are you watching another thing on the OJ trial? First
time. Fair enough. Okay. And I watched the Canine Intervention on Netflix.
I wondered if you were going to watch that.
It's, you know, it's all right. He's no Caesar, but right. It's all right. And Snowfall.
Does he do that kind of thing? Like, what's the show about?
I mean, it's a guy. He's a younger guy. He's like in his early 30s, mid 30s or whatever. And he's, you know, you call him in when shit's going sideways with your dog. And he coaches him up. He trains him up. But he also, unlike Caesar, he actually trains guard dogs and shit like that, too. So, you know, he has some celebrity clients. One of the episodes was where he went to the dude's house. He was some big boxer. And he has to refresh. They have to refresh guard dog training 4 times a year to make sure that the owner is actually doing what they're supposed to be doing, because you have a lethal weapon in your house.
Right.
That could kill somebody. So you get relaxed because they're so loving. You know how Mattis was.
Yeah.
Oh, I mean, yeah. With. Yeah. So like if you weren't on top of Mattis, what could happen? You know, it's like you forget he's having tea parties with your kid, but then he can just totally rip somebody's throat out.
Right.
He can smell a podcast host and maybe smoke a little weed and bite that podcast host's throat right out.
That's why that podcast host didn't show up.
And we, you know, I wasn't intimidated by Mattis, but at the same time, I wasn't about to do any quick movements or any shit like that. It was a little bit whatever. And when he went to refresh the training, it did seem that the boxer had gotten the guy who owned the dog had gotten lax with him.
Right.
And whenever the dog attacked him, because he wore the big suit, he couldn't get him off of him. I mean, he would not release no matter what the guy did.
Damn.
So anyway, that was interesting. And but my most favorite thing that I watched all week was the Snowfall episode 1 and 2. Intense as shit. Such a good show. I highly recommend, if you've never gotten into Snowfall, man, start on season 1 and I guarantee you will fall in love with the show.
It's really good, man. It's like on the level of like a Justified or a Breaking Bad.
All right. I do.
I put it up there with even what was our show on HBO, The Wire.
Yeah.
It's up there. I mean, all of the characters are super authentic. The dialogue is authentic. Everything about it. And the characters, Uncle Jerome. Oh my God, I love Uncle Jerome so bad. That Amin Joseph guy. But anyway, highly recommend Snowfall. Give it a shot. It's really good. And I was glad to see that with John Singleton passing away, that it didn't take away from the show at all. In fact, it's as good as it ever was.
Cool.
So I highly recommend it. And my staff pick is, my Gen X dreams have come true. The Real World season 1. New York Homecoming. It's happening on Paramount Plus, March 4th. Everybody from season 1 of The Real World, Heather.
Is that the puck season?
No, that's season 3.
Okay.
No, that's season 3. I
don't remember season 1.
No, season 1 was Julie and Kevin and Norman and Heather B. and Eric Nyes. That was before he got the grind. And
Bob Dole.
But I was like 18 when the show came out. And this was the incarnation, really, of reality shows.
Now, is Paramount Plus CBS right now?
Yeah, it switches on March 4th.
All right, I'll shut up.
So you already got it. But anyway, so they're bringing everybody back. They're all our age, or my age. They're all like 47 years old, 48 years old, moving back into that same exact loft in New York City, living together at this age. And I don't know, you know, already you could see in the previews, nothing's changed. It's been, you know, 30 years and still it's the same shit they were arguing about 30 years ago.
I want to listen to Atlantis. I don't want to listen to Pantera.
No, I want to listen to the Soup Dragons.
Oh God. The soup dragons. Jeff, did you get anything that,
Let's see. I watched the WandaVision. I'm watching For All Mankind, which is really good, which you don't like. I watched the Nick Jonas Saturday Night Live, which was meh. I watched Superman and Lois last week on the CW. It premiered.
Is it good?
It was pretty good. They're like, they're parents now, which is the big take. They're the take on this thing. They have two twin boys, and it's not known yet whether they both have powers, but one discovers in the first episode that he has powers.
Okay.
That's pretty good. There's a lot of Easter eggs for Superman, the movie, and Smallville, the show, and like Superman comics and stuff.
Is it on CW?
Yeah, it's on the CW.
Now, what I heard about it from people is that it's not like a CW show, though. That
is, no, it's not.
Okay.
I mean, it is geared toward young people, which is like a CW thing, but I thought it was it was reverent to the source material.
Okay.
Which is what I'm looking for in Superman shows.
You think they took the cues from the Arrowverse stuff? That,
yeah.
They stayed close to it, and that did so successful. They're going to use that again.
I think so. Awesome. My stat pick is going to be Coming to America, which is coming out this week on the 5th on Amazon. Can't wait.
I can't wait.
I heard that he wanted to have the Clumps have a cameo, but he wasn't able to do it because of the time it would take him to do the makeup.
Really?
Yeah. Wouldn't it have been funny to see the Clumps in the scene?
I would love that.
I love Eddie Murphy. I'm glad he's doing stuff again like this.
I am too, but my God, I watch The Price is Right like all the time.
Yeah.
And that is the commercial every single time on Pluto. It goes right from Bob to Coming to America. So now it's to the point where I'm like, this movie better be good.
Shit. It better have more jokes than the ones that are in the trailer, which some of those
trailer
are hilarious. The first time I heard the joke, you had a kid, you've been gone 30 years and you came back. I'm not telling the joke. I'm not giving it any power or any. I'm not making it sound like it's funny, but it is. Not when I do it.
You don't have the vernacular for it.
Not the vernacular. I don't have the timing to paraphrase or quote timing.
But remember how the cameo of the Dukes in the original?
Yeah.
It was supposed to lead to a new Trading Places movie.
Yes.
And it was set in that universe. I think it would have been funny to have a Clumps cameo in this one and maybe lead to a new Clumps movie.
Yeah, absolutely.
I'd watch a new Trading Places with Dan and Eddie older.
That would be
good. Zach Braff and Donald Faison want to do a remake with them.
No. No. Just an update. Do an update. Maybe they're in crypto or they're investing in GameStop or something. I don't know. But please, no updates. No updates. Or no. Go ahead.
No, I was gonna say Zach Braff could stick with his Pixie Love Girl movies.
Yeah. All right, guys. Thank you for your contributions there at the end of the show. I hope everybody enjoyed today's episode. Come back for our weekend episode where we talk about the latest news. And we have a lot of fun doing this that here thing. Plus, we'll be playing a fun game called Danger Zone coming up next week. Not this week, but next week. We will be speaking with Roger in Waco. They have a new deal with Netflix. And, of course, we're talking about Roger Black and Waco O'Gwynn. And
Paradise PD comes back next week also. So that's why they're coming on.
That's right. And then don't forget Forged in Fire. We are going to be speaking with a contestant and a judge. And
I want to see if they'll rate my knife.
Doesn't have a full tang.
Where'd you get that?
Places.
Is that the one? Have you had that for a long time?
Not a real long time.
Yeah, Jeff.
It looks like a gas station knife.
Jeff would bring back stilettos from Mexico, and then one time he tried to, and the border guards smacked them all in front of him. Tails. All right, guys, make sure you like and subscribe if you're watching this on YouTube. Please share it with your friends. And if you're listening on the various podcatchers, give us all the stars you can give us and rate us, please. It doesn't cost anything, and it really helps us out.
If you want to write a review, we should start reading some new ones if we get them.
Yeah. And Dustin's posting stuff on the Facebook page. So, and also the Radio Shack. So if you want to contribute to the show in that way, you're more than welcome to go there, answer questions, post stuff, ask us questions that we will answer for you. And if you're interested in becoming a Radio Labyrinth Patreon supporter, you can go to patreon.com/Tim Andrews. Steph?
Well, if you guys are interested in fostering or adopting a dog, please check out barkbuiltdogrescue.org. Or if you'd like to donate some money, if you want to feel good about yourself, we'd appreciate it. I am not currently fostering a dog. In fact, this has been an issue in my therapy session today where I backed out of fostering a dog this past weekend as I realized that I was not ready to do it. And my dogs were not ready for me to do it. I was having some issues with one of my other dogs, and I just decided, you know, it's okay to only have 3 dogs. It's okay to have peace in my home. I don't have to do this right now. I can just take a beat.
Yeah.
And, you know, let them hate my guts. Let them hate my guts because I backed out at the last minute. It is what it is.
Hey, you know, you do an awful lot. So, and
you know what? And Tim, that's right. I have done a lot. Yes. And that's what I'm just going to go ahead and stick with that, Tim. I have done a lot with these dogs. I'm not going to feel guilty about it. But you should feel guilty if you've never done it. You should do it.
Yeah. Yeah.
The BarkvilleDogRescue.org.
Yeah. Deworming is expensive.
You know, it's just the nerves. Getting Tommy out. Tommy was a hardcore 3 weeks. Tommy was a lot.
Yeah.
And then I was going to take on this other dog. And then I'm finding out, like, she doesn't want to go in a crate. This is going to be a whole other thing. And I just don't have it in me right now. I don't have it. I'm empty. You guys are getting the bare minimum of me. I mean, I'm trying to do like Chelsea Handler says, which I don't even like her, but pick one thing and try to do that well.
There you go.
I'm going to try and do that. And then maybe I can branch out and take care of dogs again.
And you know what? Chelsea Handler did one thing really well. Then she stopped doing it. Now she doesn't do anything well. So that is a good point. Do what you do well.
There you go. I don't know what I do well. So I'm just going to try and figure that out. Do some self-discovery.
Pickle does. All righty. All right, everybody. Thank you very much. That was fun. We will talk to you in a couple of days. Until that time, please remember to keep it
canon.
Hey, we want to thank our Radio Labyrinth Patreon producers. Those are the people who come in at the $25 or above. If you don't do that, you know, of course, we mention you in the YouTube video. You see a thank you that Dustin's put together. But these are the people that have been with us the longest and have donated the most over the years, and we appreciate all your help. And we break them up with radio terms, starting off with the general managers. And those are the folks that have been with us 4 years or longer. We have Eric Malmstrom, who's been with us since October 2016. Wow. Keith Tate, also October 2016. In fact, I think these guys are the they may as well be the owners of the radio group, don't you think? Because they've been with us the longest. Oh, and throw Matt Carter in with that. He's been around since November 2016. And our most recent winner of Danger Zone, Chad Shepard, who's been around with us since October of 2017. I'm gonna send the No, he's not getting a shirt until we get the. No, I'm kidding. I don't want the red. I don't want the red box troll doll. I want him to have it. But now our program directors. Those are folks who come in at 2 to 3 years. We have Sean Hall from April of 2018. We have Mike D, August of 2018, and John Sutherland, December of 2018. And all three of those guys, awesome. Thank you so much.
Thank you, guys.
Well, then we got our DJ, Spin It Up the Hits, up to 2 years or less. Spin It Up the Hits, that's right. There we go. We got Tim Slayton, who's coming in at number 5 on the list, 2019. He's been around. We got Brian Smith, who I have been manually dropping his name in wherever in the podcast because we had to record the new one. But thank you, Brian Smith, and Chelsea as well. We have Chris Chandler. Not the quarterback for the Falcons, but different Chris Chandler, since December of 2020. So thank you very much. Todd Ellis from January of 2020. So he's been with us a little over a year. Roby Neely, who's been with us, who's also a champion of, you know what we're going to have to do? We're going to have to do a championship battle between the people who won Danger Zone. More on that later.
Oh, yeah.
Wouldn't that be fun?
Yeah, I think it'd be great. We have a tournament of champions, sure.
Yeah, and then eventually when we all die like Alex, they can take over the show. and a special shout out to our assistant producers, Emily Warren and Buck Monterey. Buck coming in December of 2017 and Emily Warren coming in May of 2018. So thank you guys very much. And like we said, if you want to be a Radio Labyrinth Patreon member, just go to patreon.com/TimAndrews.